You're listening to Vatican Radio. The UN High Commissioner for Human Rights, Navi Pillay, has welcomed a ruling against Guatemala's former head of state, José Efrén Ríos Montt, for genocide and crimes against humanity. Navi Pillay said the ruling made history by making Guatemala the first country in the world to convict a former head of state for genocide in its own national court. Ríos Montt was sentenced in the first instance to 80 years for his leading role in the killing of over 1,700 people, as well as the forced displacement, starvation, torture, systematic rape and sexual assault that were deliberately inflicted on Guatemala's Mayan Ixil communities. In all, some 200,000 people, the majority of indigenous Maya origin, were killed during the country's long-running civil war. But the period of Ríos Montt's rule is considered one of the bloodiest in the conflict. Among those welcoming the May 10th decision was CAFOD, the overseas development agency of the Catholic Bishops of England and Wales, which has been working in Guatemala for over 40 years. Claire Dixon heads the CAFOD desk for Latin America and the Caribbean. She told me more about the significance of this landmark legal decision. Claire, how significant do you think is this ruling against former President Ríos Montt? Because it is only a first sentencing, isn't it?
It's just the first sentencing, and I suppose that there may be appeals against it. But it is a world-breaking record case on the basis that there has never been anywhere in history, anywhere else in the world, a country that has brought to trial a former president, a former leader, and has actually found him guilty. There have been other cases, of course, where former presidents have been found guilty of crimes against humanity, but that's normally been at the intervention of things like the International Criminal Court, the International Court of Human Rights, the Inter-American Court of Human Rights, but never has it happened before in the same country that a man who was the president of a country has been found guilty of genocide, of crimes against humanity, and sentenced to a total of 80 years. So it is a huge step forward.
So you're thinking it might set a precedent, in fact?
Well, I think it already has set a precedent in terms of the rest of Latin America, where, as you can imagine, a whole number of these trials are pending at the request of the Inter-American Court of Human Rights. I think it gives great hope to people throughout the region, particularly in Central America, where impunity has been the order of the day, that crimes have never been recognised. And it's really thanks to the work of the church, of civil society organisations, of the different human rights bodies, that this has been possible and that they've managed to do it almost 20 years after the end of the civil war and 30 years after the actual terrible crimes took place.
It has been a long and difficult process, though, hasn't it? If we think of the murder of the bishop who first denounced the massacres in that important report 15 years ago.
Well, Bishop Gerardi was an extraordinarily courageous man. And of course, as you will recall, after the end of the civil war in 1996, a whole process was engaged in by the church to say that we must not forget what has happened. And it was as a result of that investigation that the church carried out in every diocese, in every parish, under the leadership of Bishop Gerardi, that they discovered that there had been more than 200,000 indigenous civilian victims of the war. And Bishop Juan gave out the report one evening on a Friday night, and on the Sunday he was killed. He was found murdered in his house. It's never fully been explained, except, of course, there was an intervention and an involvement of former army leaders within his killing. But unfortunately, there has never been any investigation to look at who ordered the killing of Bishop Gerardi, a man who gave his life for the people of his diocese of Quiché, and who, as you know, was exiled for a while from Guatemala because the country refused him entry when he was coming back from a synod in Rome. And I met Bishop Gerardi in the mid-80s and early 90s, and he was a man who continued to work tirelessly for reparations, for recognition, because, I mean, Guatemala, it was really a situation where the whole of the army's campaign was a campaign of ethnic cleansing. I've heard it described in Guatemala that South Africa might have had an apartheid state, but it was by no means as strong in its victimization of racial minorities as Guatemala was throughout those years. This current case for which Rios Montt has been condemned was a particular case of three villages in the Ishil Triangle in the Diocese of Quiché, where more than 1,700 people were killed. But we're talking in total 200,000 people. So all of those other cases of the massacres in different towns. I mean, I, in 1992, spent several months living with a group of refugees, people who had fled their homes in the face of army attacks and who had fled into the jungle in the north of the Diocese of Quiché. I was invited in by a priest, Father Ricardo Falla, a Jesuit anthropologist, who'd been asked by the bishop to provide pastoral care to these people in this war zone. I can't tell you just how tragic the stories of these people were. None of their children were older than 10 or 11 because they'd fled into the jungle with their children, and their children had all died of hunger. So they had basically started again to live with their families. The first woman I met told me how she had fled and she had got lost in the jungle with six of her children, that one by one she watched her children die. She said, and it wasn't until she was discovered, I think basically she said, I didn't know whether I was a human or whether I was a dog. And she was discovered by a group of guerrillas who took her to a community of civilians that they had found. And that's where she met her husband. And she said, I thought you'd been killed. How on earth did you desert me in the jungle to let all our children die? There was story after story of just how people had witnessed their relatives being herded into the churches, churches being set fire, terrible massacres of women being killed with the babies in their womb and the children being torn out and used as footballs. I mean, the horrors and the kind of terrorism that took place in Guatemala really has no parallel. El Salvador was terrible, but Guatemala was really, you know, the case par excellence of horror and terror for Central America during those decades.
How much do you think the country is or has managed to heal, to recover from these atrocities?
I think there is still enormous polarization within the country. And of course, that polarization has been exacerbated by the different manifestations of violence which have appeared in the country in the last number of years. You have the phenomenon of the gangs, gang warfare, linked to organized crime, which is very much linked to the whole drug trafficking, because of course Guatemala and Central America in general have been countries of passage of cocaine from Colombia through Central America and up to the United States. So whereas in the times of the Civil War, people would say, well, we used to know where the bullets were coming from because it was a war between two confronting parties. Now there is a terrible generalized level of violence and crime. But also this trial has really brought out many, many tensions. As you can imagine, the precedent of Efraín Ríos Montt being sentenced has meant that so many former generals and army commanders and the extreme right wing who were in league with them have seen this as a clarion call that they need to prepare themselves for the worst. So there has been a whole rash of press reports, vilification of the Catholic Church, naming individuals like the Bishop of Huehuetenango, who has been a huge supporter of the land rights and the indigenous culture. So naming bishops and saying that these are part of the communist subversion, naming leading human rights activists, and also naming a lot of the Catholic aid agencies who have been working in Guatemala and saying that they are the agents of subversion within the country. So there's been a huge raise in temperature at the moment in the country. Who knows what will happen? I imagine that there will be appeals against the sentences, both from Rios Montt's side and also from the side of the prosecutors, because of course Rios Montt was condemned, but the second in command, Mauricio Rodriguez, who was also with him on trial, was actually found not guilty, and it's expected that there may be an appeal against that. So I imagine that this one is going to run and run, but at least it is the first sign that a country and the institutions of a country can recover sufficiently to be able to have the courage to do this. And of course, you need some very courageous human rights investigators, you need some very, very courageous lawyers, and particularly the judge, a woman who has really risked her life to be able to make this verdict. And CAFOD has continued to support the human rights centres, the Archdiocesan Human Rights Office, and all of the efforts of the church to really make this kind of thing possible. What's happening in Guatemala could potentially happen in El Salvador and other parts of the region. And so I would say that although it's a moment which is of great tension, it's also a moment of great hope.
Thanks there to Claire Dixon, head of the Latin America and Caribbean desk for CAFOD, the London-based Catholic Agency for Overseas Development.